Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Hope you're staying warm. Hope you're safe. We're trying to keep you entertained and having a good time here this afternoon. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And we say hello now to John McClain down in Houston. John, hope everything's good down there.
Yeah, I feel terrible as someone who's lost power for as much as 2 weeks in the summer, in August. I'd much rather lose power in the winter than summer. I know what people are going through up there, and I feel terrible for them. And as I told Nick, I'm looking at a thing on front office sports, drone shots of the Titans' new stadium going over it. Man, it looks great. And I can certainly see why there were traffic issues this season, considering it's right next to the old stadium, but I'm fired up to get into that, and I hope everybody stays warm and gets their power back. And I know it's frustrating, but those people, they're doing everything they can to try to get the power back for everybody.
There is no doubt. All right, so I'm going to run. This is something Joe and I were just talking about. I'm going to see if you know the answer to this. Fun little trivia question. There have been five U.S. colleges that have produced both a U.S. president and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Can you name them?
I have no
idea. Or Super
Bowl
winning starting quarterback.
I have no idea. All I know is that great stat I saw last night that USC's had more quarterbacks drafted in any school, and they're about to have their first start in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they are.
So go ahead, fire away.
The answer is Delaware, Joe Biden, Joe Flacco, Miami, Ohio, Harrison and Roethlisberger, Michigan, Ford and Brady, Stanford, Hoover, Elway, and they also have Jim Plunkett on there. Did he start a Super Bowl?
Yes, 1980 and 83.
Yeah. He won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, and then the Naval Academy with Carter and Staubach.
Well, if I got any of them, and I had a long time to think about it, it might have been Michigan.
Yeah, there you go. But an interesting one. So what do you think of this matchup? Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots will take on Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks.
I think it's very interesting when I see the Titans getting ripped for firing Vrabel, when so many people among the fans and the media wanted him fired. And you never see these people ripping the Titans, point out Mike's last two records there, which were terrible. And they act like they were in the playoffs, and then they got fired. And that, of course, wasn't the case. And I'm happy for Mike. I like him. I liked him here when he was the defensive coordinator. I liked him when he was playing for the Patriots, and I covered them a lot. And what he's done with that team and that defense with Drake May just throwing the ball terribly. Let's face it, he was awful throwing the ball yesterday, but his running helped him. And the defense has just been fantastic. And nobody was talking about that defense during the season. It was all about the Texans and the Seahawks and the Broncos. And on the other hand, I'm a big fan of Gary Kubiak's family. And Gary's son, Clint, is the offensive coordinator for Seattle. Gary and his wife, Rhonda, were at the game. And I would like to see Clint be able to win a Super Bowl ring. Gary won four, and he kept a ring for himself, and he gave one to each of his sons, and maybe Clint could give his back and accept his new one. I think it'd be pretty cool for that family to have two. And like everybody, I think I'm happy for Sam Darnold. You know, five teams in 8 years, it's just amazing when you get with the right coach and the right system. And he went with Kevin O'Connell last year. Kevin's known as one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL, and I believe Clint Kubiak is too. And I bet a lot of those Viking fans are sorry they let him go, but I'm really happy for Darnold playing as great as he did with that oblique injury. And then Matthew Stafford deserved better. My goodness, how great he played in those last two games against Seattle. And they lost both.
I did not realize that Kubiak had won four in his career.
He won one with San Francisco, and he won two as offensive coordinator with Denver, and then he was a head coach for Super Bowl 50. So, yeah, He's got four, and he distributed them. And I asked him one time, what would you have done if you had four kids, give away the fourth one and not have one yourself? He said, I don't have to answer that question. Family. Mike McDonald's done a tremendous job. Mike Vrabel's done a tremendous job. I'm kind of glad these teams are in there. I'm glad Kansas City wasn't in the playoffs. I used to get tired of New England, but they've been totally rebuilt. And, you know, some people are squawking because Belichick hadn't been hired in Buffalo. What did Belichick do there when Brady wasn't there? Didn't do jack squat. What did he do in North Carolina? He didn't do jack squat. And that's why I think I'd love to see Clint Kubiak get to go to Buffalo. There's a lot of talk he might go to the Raiders and coach Fernando Mendoza. But I look for a great game involving two great defenses and two good quarterbacks. And Drake May, I think, is going to have to play a whole lot better for the Patriots to have a chance to win.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, sorry. John McClain's with us on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, the fact that Buffalo was still sitting without a head coach, Arizona without a head coach. Let's talk about Cleveland for a second, John. I've read all reports about people have allegedly, like, I don't want to go there because I don't work with Sanders. I don't want to work with Haslam. You got Deshaun Watson coming back. Nobody wants to step into drama. And I'm just curious to see who's going to take this job, John.
Well, somebody will, because there's only 32. There's some young guys out there, and it's amazing to me with Davis Webb and Grant Yudinski that people are trying to find the next Sean McVay, a young guy, 30 years old. But that's so rare to find somebody that young. Davis Webb was who played for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, was drafted by the Giants, has been a fast riser. And he coached Josh Allen for 3 years. He would seem to be a natural. And then he could bring in his former boss, Cliff Kingsbury, to be the offensive coordinator, even though I'm sure Davis has never called plays. Kingsbury has called plays everywhere he's been. So that would seem to be a natural place for them. And as far as Cleveland, it's so weird because you have the quarterback situation, uncertainty over Watson, the controversy over Shedeur Sanders, no fault of his own, but he's so divisive because of who he is, his daddy and all that, and fans and media have all got such a strong opinion on a guy who was a fifth-round draft choice. And in Arizona, you talk about flying below the radar. Right. They're skating on the ground. It's like nobody wants to go to work for that franchise. So they're going to have to get a retread who's just happy to get a job, or a young guy. And I'm guessing it'll be one of those. But it is amazing. I think the three of us and Nick are the only ones that haven't turned down the Cleveland job. And it's embarrassing for the franchise because they have a great defense with the best defensive player in the NFL, a great fan base, moving into a new stadium, which is going to be ideal for their next quarterback. But they ought to just, like some teams, take your lumps this year and be ready for next year's draft, which is supposed to be one of the best ever for quarterbacks.
Yeah, I just don't see, John. I mean, the Watson thing is now he's determined to come back. He's going to start in 26. And do you want to get in the middle of all that? And, again, I know there's one of 32 jobs, but if this is going to be the way and you can't make your own decisions, you can't be your own quarterback and you're forced upon this, I see exactly why nobody's taking this job.
There's so many people that pulled out. I don't think Watson will ever play for him again. It'll be between Gabriel and Sanders again with the hopes that they will have a shot next year. Because next year, if you pick in the top half of the first round, you might be able to get a top quarterback prospect. They have two number one picks. They need to fortify a wide receiver in their offensive line and start preparing for that next quarterback. But maybe it'll be somebody really young. One of these other guys that you could fail, go back to being an assistant somewhere else and get another chance. But it sure is interesting, and it's got to frustrate the fans up there so much.
I would think so. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain down in Houston. John McClain. Robert Saleh becoming the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He's going to be introduced on Thursday. They've kind of pushed that back with all the weather and everything that we have here. Plus, he had some family stuff as well that he had going on. What, in your mind, is the biggest thing he needs to do differently here than he didn't do with the Jets?
Well, first of all, I wonder if Robert's kicking himself because he didn't go to Cleveland, because he could have coached a Pro Bowl quarterback.
I know,
George,
right?
George Sanders added to the Pro Bowl is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen. Every other quarterback in the AFC must have turned him down. That is just unbelievable. But good for Shador. As far as Robert, it's one of the things he's already doing. Is he's going to call the defenses. I don't know why he didn't call the defenses with the Jets. I'm guessing it was his decision. He wanted to be a head coach. He thought it was going to be a good job. They fired him before they should have fired him. Everybody up there said that. He didn't have a quarterback. And I think anytime you've been a head coach, you're going to learn. He learned good things about coaching from the 49ers and with the Texans when he was under Gary Kubiak. And with Seattle, but he learned the bad things about coaching from the Jets. And that's who makes the personnel decisions, you know, who the owner is. That experience has got to make him a smarter head coach, better able to deal with the things that are come up. And I can tell you right now, I don't care if they don't add another defensive player, and they will. That defense is going to be terrific, led by Simmons and his running mate at tackle. And I'm real fired up to watch the Titans defense. And, of course, we're all fired up to see what they do on offense, especially the weapons they put around Cam Ward and how much Cam Ward develops. Those coaches for the offensive line, offensive coordinator, and quarterback coach are so important.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how that works, too. I think they want Brian Daboll. It just depends on what happens with the Bills moving forward. Mike McCarthy going to Pittsburgh. You like that?
It's interesting, guys, that Mike McCarthy and John Harbaugh, you put their records and careers right up next to each other, and they're almost the same. And yet everybody wanted Harbaugh. Harbaugh got all this positive publicity. Now the Steelers are being ripped because they hired Mike McCarthy. But one of the things they didn't follow in the tradition going back to 69 for hiring an assistant coach from defense. But that's 19 years ago. Times change. And I think McCarthy, what he did helping Brett Favre at the end of his Packers career, helping develop Aaron Rodgers, and what he did with Dak Prescott, people forget that with the Cowboys, he won 12 games 3 years in a row when Dak was healthy almost the whole time. And then Dak wasn't healthy. So I think they need a quarterback, whether they bring back Aaron Rodgers another year or not. They're still going to need a quarterback, and I think he's a good guy to get the job done. And I do think him being from Pittsburgh and a diehard Steeler fan his whole life played a role into it. But I can't wait to see, does he do better with the Steelers than John Harbaugh does with the Giants, even though Harbaugh has a good young quarterback.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, we'll go back to Robert Saleh for a moment. When you were with him in Texas, 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, what do you remember about him? Obviously, you don't talk to a lot of assistant coaches back then, but evidently there was something there to retain him and keep him there because, you know, coaching interns come in left and right, but he had that something where they kept him around for a while.
Robert was hired in 2005 for the bottom of the barrel. And by Dom Capers, who was the Texans' first head coach. He was fired after the 2005 season. Gary Kubiak was hired in 2006. Somebody recommended him to Gary, who Gary trusted, so they kept him 5 more years. And Robert worked his way up coaching linebackers. That's how he got to be friends with D'Amico Ryans. And when Kyle Shanahan was hired by the 49ers in 17, he had Robert as his defensive coordinator, and Robert's the one who called D'Amico, who was volunteering his high school in Alabama, to see if he wanted to come. They're getting the boys, the band back together. And so D'Amico said sure, and he went out and interviewed, and the rest is history. Saleh's a really good people person. He's got a good personality. He can be really tough, a disciplinarian, And I'm told that by people that worked with him out there and with the Jets, he does a good job with the media. And one of the things is he's got, and I think he'll hit a home run at his introductory news conference because he's been dealing with the New York, New Jersey media, and he knows how to handle himself. I never saw any stories, and I tried to keep up with his career there because I was interested in how he would do as a first-time head coach. And I remember him getting blasted because they were losing, but I never saw anybody blasting him because he was rude to people. And I think he'll hit a home run in the first news conference because he's got to convince you guys who helped convince the fans that he's the man for the job. And everybody knows for him, he's proven to be a great defensive coach. It's all about who he's able to hire for offense. And I'm hoping he'll do a tremendous job. But as you guys know, they need talent.
Yeah, and they do. And it's cyclical too, John. I mean, you look at it, the run was on the young offensive coaches, and now I think at least solid to me, John, he's kind of like Vrabel, not 2.0, but maybe 1.5, just a hard ass. And, you know, these Patriot players, when they ask about Vrabel, like, look, from day one, he was holding us accountable. And that's what I hear about Robert Saleh from the ex-players. Like, we know he's hard on us, but we know he cares about us. So I see solid, John, a little bit being a Vrabel, not 2.0, but maybe a 1.5.
Now that's a great point. And the thing about Robert is he's worked with enough coaches now, and he's worked for offensive head coach, he's worked for defensive head coach. He knows what that's, how important that side of the ball is. And I can't wait to see him get to work and see who he puts together on his staff. The attitude is going to be really upbeat with him around because that's the kind of person he is. Robert works his butt off to stay in great shape. I mean, he looks the part of a head coach. You look at Vrabel, D'Amico Ryans, there's a lot of these coaches, you know, they're, no offense to Mike McCarthy or Kyle Shanahan, who seems like he's losing weight every year. Those guys look like they could go out, strap on the pads and play right now. I think that they always say a leader of men. Well, you know what? You're not a leader of women. You're just a leader.
Right.
And I think, like Mike, when Mike walked into the locker room, if he had been a bad coach or had a bad personality, he wouldn't have been so imposing. Well, Mike, along with being imposing, is really a player's coach. But, boy, he jumps on their butt. I've seen him chewing players out. But they respect him, and I think that's what it's going to be with Saleh. And if Cam Ward turns out the way everybody hopes he will, and they add some weapons for him and build that offense around him the way Ryan Poles did last year for Ben Johnson, they can be, I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs, but they can be one of the most improved teams in the league.
John, were you surprised it wasn't Matt Nagy because of the relationship that him and Borgonzi had? They were real close in Kansas City. That article about how close they were and doing a lot of things together. I thought it was a done deal, but then Saleh comes in. And, John, the report is that he had a plan for Cam Ward. And I think that blew everybody away. Like, he gets this. He's more than just a defensive guy. He had it going on. But were you surprised that Matt Nagy didn't get it?
Yeah, Nagy has been close to Borgonzi. They're trying to help him get a head coaching job. He's probably going to end up being an offensive coordinator again. And if he's calling plays, that'll help him. And but I don't think a lot of people there would have been fired up. You would have had to take Borgonzi's word for it since he worked with him. I'm glad they didn't hire somebody from Kansas City or Green Bay where Borgonzi and Chad Brinker had spent so much of their career. And so we all thought it was going to be Nagy. And then when they pivoted to Saleh, I'm sure a lot of people there were relieved that it wasn't somebody you've worked with hiring your buddy. And I wish Nagy all the luck in the world. He's a good guy. If you can go to the playoffs twice, go 12-4 with Mitchell Trubisky, you've got something on the ball. But when Saleh gets in there with his energy and his personality, you're going to hear the players saying great things about him. And that gets everybody fired up.
No doubt. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain down in Houston talking some football with him. We'll come back with more here on this Monday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.